Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to Warn Radio Sound the Shofar. I'm the Watchman Dana Smith, and Tower is off. Warn Radio Sound the Shofar broadcast. This is one of them. This is the Friday morning edition, and every one of them are fast moving. And this is an in-depth biblical study we're doing on Friday. And you can contact us on the contact page at warn-usa.com for all correspondence and inquiries. You can check us out on Facebook and Twitter at hashtag WatchmanIS216. I am not a fan of Facebook. I'm on there simply because I have it connected to the Instagram account. One day they will put Instagram and Facebook together. Facebook is a trash. And the tracking that they do, and them and Google, there's a lot of them, is just atrocious. They buy and sell, and they will take your information just to figure out how to make a profit off of it. Nevertheless, for those who have a family and keep it private, a lot of them can keep in contact with one another. We have a lot of number of doctors and various other professionals that are on our Instagram. And that's one of the reasons I keep that around, because there's a lot of important health information, biblical information, and stuff like that. So you can check us out on Instagram and Twitter. We also have a hashtag Warn Radio and a hashtag WGS_Watchman. That's more of a survival one I started years ago, and it has quite a following on it. You can join us on LinkedIn, which is actually a more refined. This is a Microsoft. They own it, LinkedIn. It's mainly for jobs and having business contacts and stuff like that. I don't really have a lot of time to do anything social as far as that goes. So at any rate, we're on those. You can also check us out on USA.life and MeWe. Those are secure accounts. Those accounts there don't sell your information. Another one, a good one, if you're looking for security when talking and chatting, is Telegram. And so, at any rate, hashtag Warn Radio will find us on USA.life and MeWe. We were having problems with some of the formats, the way we do it here, and trying to get it on Blog Talk. And there is some outlying regions because of around here where we live. The internet can be kind of a problem, but most of the time it's pretty good. So at any rate, we are on a lot of places where you can hear the signal, hear this show. Among them, Blueberry, which is one that's been with us for a long time because we have our websites, and Blueberry works real good with them. iHeartRadio, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Another one that we really like and prefer is Spreaker. Really good. You can find us on TuneIn as well, Google Play Music. Of course, Blog Talk Radio, where Warn Radio Vision's there. Podcast Addict, Anchor, Podchaser. And yesterday I was checking out a bunch more. We have a whole bunch more on the list that we're looking at getting them on. So every day, this makes up our Warn Radio network, and it's designed to reach those who have smartphones and laptops and some of the devices. because around the world, most of the people can't afford a big computer. Most of them are using smartphones, and this is designed to get what we do around the world. And it does, because over the years, we've had just about, well, I could easily say someone from just about every nation on earth that has the internet has been on our website, somebody somewhere. I stopped really tracking that years ago, but right now we do what we do, and the word goes out, and that's what matters. We also write, I write a lot of articles, and among them, Defrocking America, Attacking the American Dream. Defrocking America in its fullest desires find itself in recent history. You can check that one out. Foundation of God stands true. Our future includes being redeemed, resurrected, and reigning. And I discuss that. The Lord's Lighthouse Keeper. Just as a city on a hill cannot be hid, neither should we be hid. And so check out those on danaglennsmith.com, warn-usa.com. Today we're discussing Princely Judgment, The Steadfast Faith, Pursuit of Christ, Part 5. And I'm trying to think right now, when we talk about the prince of the world, and of course, in John 12:23, Jesus answered them saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit." Now, being a gardener, bring someone that raises and deals with all that, might have something to do with my heritage. But, you know, God created us in the beginning as gardeners, as people who took care of the Garden of Eden. So it's not surprising that I find myself attracted to digging in the dirt. Of course, my grandfather was a farmer. My other grandfather was a cattle rancher. So I was around the dirt. I was around pastures and animals and things like that. So it's no surprise. So understanding this is that if you're going to have a harvest of corn, you got to plant the seed. And if you want to redeem mankind, you have to plant the seed. And the seed was the Son of God who gave his life for us. And this is known. Paul describes this fact as the love of the truth. The love of the truth is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You can find that in John 3:16. But the fact of it is also is that the Son came because he loved the Father and he loved us. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that there's no greater love than if someone gives his life for you. And that's what the Lord did. And so this is what he's discussing, that if it doesn't fall on the ground, if you don't plant the seed, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. Now, you see, the thing that you have to understand here is that he is the eternal seed of God. And if you get in the Garden of Eden before the fall, you know, they didn't have the seasons, per se, that would kill vegetation. They didn't have the bugs that killed and destroyed. It was a healthy environment. It was perfect. Nevertheless, today when I plant and I garden, I do so within a season. And then the seeds bring forth fruit, and then the seeds give forth, you know, the plant gets forth seeds, and I harvest the seeds and use them next year. That's the way it works. But the Son of God only had to die once and resurrected once and for all to redeem everybody. And that's what he's talking about. Verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And the harvest of those who believe in the Son of God and who serve God and serve the Father is a huge amount of people. It's and if you look in Revelation, of course, you see a multitude of people that cannot be counted that are there. And so through his death, he brought life to many. And it's that love that is described by Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 that describes the love of the truth. In fact, he describes it that there's a society in the future that will reject this love of the truth. That's the gospel. That's the Father and the Son and even those that believe on him. And so that's, you know, pretty much where we're at now. We're not in its fullness. The fullness will come when the son of perdition comes, when the beast is here. And so the Lord goes on to say, he that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Well, if you're going to pick up the cross of Christ anyway, you literally lose your life. You lose your desires. He comes first. And if you've ever known missionaries, for instance, they give up their home here in America to go overseas. Coming out of Bible school, I knew a lot of missionaries. We had them all the time there. So if any man serve me, he says, let him follow me where and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And I love these words because John gives it. It fully reflects the Son of Man. He goes in and says, now is my soul troubled. But what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. He knew from the beginning what he was to do. But see, yet in the midst of that, the human side of him and the spiritual side knew what was coming. Because he says, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. See, the hour of darkness was going to come upon him. And there is no doubt that in this hour of darkness, the chief prince of darkness rules and reigns. And it's during that time that it is designed to go, that by allowing this to go forward and him going through with it in the judgment, see, the prince of the world and all of his minions think that they have succeeded by killing Christ, only to find out that he's resurrected and he triumphed openly over all principalities and powers, and he took the keys of death and hell away from Satan. And so the Lord is praying here, and he says, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the world, will draw all men unto me. Now, see, he was cast out from the presence of heaven, him and his minions. And he is on the earth, and he's in the air, a certain amount in the air. He doesn't have complete freedom. But yet you wonder, you know, as he appears on the earth, can he appear on the moon? Can he appear on Mars? The concept, though, that the prince of this world is cast out, that he's judged, he's lost his power, yet his temptations and his ability remains to this day until the Lord comes again to cast him down, because he is the tempter now. He's the accuser. And his minions work all the time to deceive, to destroy. As the Lord said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. But Satan, the devil, is the destroyer. He kills, he steals, he destroys. The other day, as I was reading some of my news that I have through my feed, a targeted feed, they had a story of a rocker who went into a coma. I think he had coronavirus. And I'm trying to think, Death Angel? I'm not sure. I was thinking it was Death Angel. I don't know the bands. When I was a young punk, we had our own bands back then, blood rock, all kinds of stuff. Of course, the 60s. So at any rate, he said that he had a vision of Satan's. He said he talked to Satan. Satan was there in his dream, or while he was in a coma, or, you know, passed out or whatever he was, because he had gotten it and he went into kind of a coma, must have been a coma, and he talked about seeing him. Make no mistake, you know, there are those. Years ago, I was talking to a young man corresponding over a video that I did on YouTube. He was really upset because I had told him that that Halloween was the devil's holiday. There were certain things that went on. Of course, the world don't believe that they celebrate it anyway, dress up their kids as demons and other things. The churches try to, you know, kind of get in there somehow and try to act like it's okay, but it's not. Halloween has blood associated with it. It's a cursed time because people die in sacrifices. We know that. Nevertheless, he was convinced that. And, of course, he told me, he says, I believe in Satan and I serve him. And I told him that, you know, about Christ. And he says, well, I believe in Jesus. And so he proceeded to try to tell me that he could follow Satan and Jesus, too. I told him he couldn't. And this conversation lasted for several emails. And then the last one, when I continued, he didn't answer again. But you see, the devil is there to deceive, and he's going to deceive, and he will appear. And if you've got the right stuff, dark stuff, this dude might come trashing around. But understand, whether you see him or not, he comes around, even to Christians, and he's in the church. That's why the Lord said, all you have to do is resist him and the devil will flee. Even the weakest Christian, the one just new to the faith, can say, I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. I reject you. Get away from me in Jesus' name. And he'll flee. All you have to do is resist him and he will flee, he says. Now, see, that is the prince of the world being judged. But that is not the final judgment. The fact of it is that today, as Christians in power, we have the ability to bring down strongholds of darkness, principalities and powers. We can bind. We can see miracles and signs and wonders. We can destroy the darkness and bring light. We can't change, however, prophecy that has been prophesied, the word of God that is yet to be fulfilled. We work with it. We work within the context of Scripture as Christ did. So long ago, the world was cast out. So long ago, Christ was crucified. And that forever changed the victory for humankind. Yet you still find people and groups that reject the truth. But make no mistake, there is that place for you today in the kingdom of God. There's a place for you in this earth to be that light, to be that hope. And as Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, as we follow this, we get into Acts 17:30-31. And Paul's talking. He says, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. And Paul touches on some of this again in Romans chapter 1. At the times of this ignorance, in the beginning, men and women and families would look at the heavens, and that's where we have some that worship the sun, they worship the stars. You have animists in India to this day that worship just about every rock, tree, stone, and whatever. You have a lot of people from history, their roots. And see, Paul says at the time, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Today is that time to repent. Why? Because Paul goes on to say, he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. This is Yahshua, Jesus Christ, is going to judge. The Lord was quite pointed when he said God had given him the power to give his life and to take his life back again. He gave him ultimate power to give life to men and to take life away from men, to judge a righteous judgment. There is a day coming, and until that day, there is other judgments in the earth, and there are workings of God in the lives of humans, in their cities, in their nations. Things happen to remind them that they are just men and they need to repent. And it's amazing how, and this is true with Israel, when trouble came, they suddenly repented, turned to God. And then, of course, when they went back to normal, they forgot, and there was a cycle of serving God, falling away. You know, trouble would come, tribulation would come, they would repent. A cycle. But there's a day that is coming that he is going to judge the world. You know, there's coming a day when, and, you know, I look at the church in North Korea and what they go through. One of the worst persecuted places on earth. And I look at how they treat their people. And this is a nation that style of government and the people who lead it need to be removed. But even if you removed them, you would have to train the people again, because that's all they've known. All their lives, that's all they've known, most of them, all of them. Because you're so many generations where they've kept this. They don't know anything else. Most of them are totally blinded, totally led astray, and have no clue. North Korea needs the gospel. And there are more news is coming out more and more from North Korea. Major ministries now actually have inroads into North Korea through people who are willing to risk their life to get the gospel into North Korea. It's amazing. China is another one who actually, you know, the communist government is in the face of God. In China, the communist government rules, not God. And they've taken, especially the last number of years, to task the Christian church, destroying it, ravaging it, throwing people in jail, declaring to the churches that exist they have to abide by the Constitution. They don't have a Constitution. Abide by communist law. They have to do what they tell them to do, or else the state comes first. And there's a lot of injustices in the nations. While we have trouble in America, ain't nothing compared to what we see around the world, especially for Christians. But yet, God has appointed a day which all of these nations are finally and fully going to come under the thumb of God. And they will be judged. And so while you may look at the situation and you may say, when is this going to end? And I got to write an article this in because I've got some information that the Lord gave me the other day about a lot of this. It's interesting to note, because when you look at it, and there's many places, every week we cover the persecuted church. And within this, there are those that are always persecuted. They're always dying. They're always attacked. And the people in charge of the country never lay a finger on the bad guys. Hardly ever. And it gets tiring. You know, when is this going to change? These people need to be protected. Now, see, there is a difference in Christians. There is a difference, and I'm not saying right or wrong here. I'm just saying there's a difference. In many of these countries, most of these Christians have no way to defend themselves. They don't have guns. They don't have money to buy guns. They would be illegal in most of these places anyway. And many of them won't fight back. That's what they've been trained. That's what they've been taught. You come into America and you're a Christian family and a hunter. Someone comes into your home to hurt your family, you're going to defend them. You will shoot them. If you are, and this is the astounding thing, in America, you walk alongside a street, and how many times have I seen video of some person getting beat up and the public stands around and watches? Nobody intervenes because nobody wants to get beat up. They just sit there and watch the poor guy get the crap beat out of him. Excuse the expression, but that's what it is. And they stand around. And I've even read stories, especially a young white boy that got beat up by a bunch of blacks. They beat the living hell out of him, stripped him naked, and he laid in the street, and people stood around and mocked him and laughed at him while he was laying there. Now, see, this is the America we have today. Now, my question to you as a Christian is, if you were going by there and you saw that happen, what would you do? Stand around and just pray? or would you actually get in there? Now, see, there's a time to pray and there's a time to act. God is with you anyway. You shouldn't have to ask him, should I help this poor guy? Remember the Samaritan, the good Samaritan. Yeah, you help him. Get others to join you. Do something. Don't stand there like a fool, like the rest of them, and just look at someone, get the daylight speed out of them. Just like that other video that came out yesterday, that black guy who was taking pictures of himself, and he was in a nursing home in Michigan. This is where Whitmer, the demagogue governor, who didn't even mention it, but she was upset that Trump had not wore a mask to the Ford plant, which he did. He just took it off when he got before the reporters. But the bottom line of it is that, you see, there's coming a day when God is going to judge the world in righteousness through Jesus Christ. There's coming a day when things like this will be put in order. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord Sabaoth, which is used in only two places in the New Testament. But it refers to the Lord of hosts, Lord over all agencies. Every judge, every cop, every person will be judged for their role that they played in life. Everything. Nothing will be hid. Now, the prince of the world has been judged. He's made a way for you to believe. In Acts 17:30, he commands all men everywhere to repent. Now, this, of course, means women as well. It's a general term here. But in Romans 12:1 and 2, and you should know this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are the lights. We are the example. 1 Corinthians 18 Now, when we talk about the preaching of the cross and getting the word out, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And this is clear in America. Many of the news outlets, many of those scholars, I mean, there's a lot of people that just think the Christian, the cross, the Bible is nothing but foolishness. I talked to a guy many, many, many years ago. I'll never forget him. And his wife was a Christian, and he was not. And he says, my wife prays, and if something happens, she believes it's an answer to prayer. He says, I don't. It happened. It's not no answer to prayer. He refused to believe it. See, in the world, the cross and the things of the Bible are foolish. I preach the Word of God all the time. I'm writing it, talking it. And there's people that don't believe. People that think I'm nuts. You know, from my standpoint, it matters little to me what they think of me. And the fact that they're dissing God, it ain't going to hurt the Lord any. It's going to hurt them. You know, Scripture says those that love death hate the Lord. There's nothing more true than this. So when you're dissing the cross, you're dissing the Bible, it's them that perish foolishness. In other words, through their ways and believing, they're going to turn out to be foolish because the very thing that could save them, they're doing away with. The very thing that could save their souls and direct their steps is foolishness to them. It's nothing. It's like it perished. So there's nothing to it. It's ignorant to them. But to us, which are saved, it is the power of God. You have to understand that it's the power of God. When I read the scripture, if you do not believe in it being the word of God, that's an issue for you. If you can't believe that God exists, that's an issue too. But I guarantee you, when you die, there's not one atheist, not one agnostic, not one unbeliever that has died that is still a non-believer. Now, they're perishing because they refuse to repent and accept the Lord. But when you get in eternity and you pass this veil of human flesh, you know there's a God then. And you realize your mistake. You see your blindness and your stupidity, and you realize forever you will be gnashing teeth and weeping and wailing for the miseries that's come upon you. But see, today, as preachers preach, and preachers have to preach the truth, the gospel, and you need to preach the new, connecting it to the Tanakh. You have to bring them together. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So all those who are wise, all those who are brilliant, there's nothing. Because in order to find redemption, you've got to do it the same thing. See, the scholar with the PhD finds God the same way as the bum on the street that went into a nice little place, say a coffee house, or a little church that rescues the dying on Skid Row. And so the poor bum, the drunk, the alcoholic, the prostitute, whatever their problem is, they wander in off the street and get fed and get to talking. And finally, God touches their heart and they know there's a God and they get forgiven. They end up in a halfway house. They clean themselves up. They go to Bible school or take some studies, and they're able to understand and preach and teach. So they go back to the streets to preach and teach. You see, That person that was rescued out of that on the streets has to find God the same way that the PhD does in the mansion, or the president in the mansion, or whoever it is, or wherever they are. There is no exception to God. So the Lord will destroy the wisdom of the wise and what they think, and he'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent, those who plan ahead, those who try to figure things out and think everything is going to go this way. You have people that are sensible, wise, judicious, cautious, or practical, pragmatic. Prudent is a good word, because there's a way for Christians to be prudent as well. But this is talking about a different kind of a prudence. This is a wisdom of the prudence in the world and things like that. When you think you're above the gospel, I don't need it because I don't do that. I don't need that because I'm not a whore, a prostitute, or whatever. I don't need that because I'm not a liar and a cheat and a thief. I don't need that because I'm perfect. I'm doing good. Look at me, you know. No, that doesn't work. So Paul asks now, Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has God, not God made foolish the wisdom of this world, which he has? He hasn't saved you through some elaborate scheme brought up in the world. Now, see, one of the things the Lord warned about in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, John, and throughout the epistles, not to mention the prophets, is do not be deceived. There's a lot of people out there waiting to deceive you. The only truth is in the Word of God. The only truth of salvation is found in Yahshua, Jesus Christ, who will bring you to his Father. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The very thing, preaching. Now, of course, there's teaching. But it involves the Word of God. And see, people, well, I don't want to listen to that. He's just a nutty old preacher. I'll tell you, there's been a lot of nutty old preachers. One of my favorite, and I talk about David Wilkerson a lot, but David Wilkerson had an impact on our family and our life. But I'll tell you who had a greater impact, and I mean, the Lord did, number one, but the other one was my pastor, our pastor. See, Tower and I were both raised in the church. And God had to get us out of the church to get us saved and then put us back in to let us know the difference. There's someone that follows us. We have a lot of people that follow us on Twitter, lots. And this one guy puts up quotes from saints gone by and things. And he was talking about, in this one quote, that today's Christians, and this was a long time ago when this guy said this, don't know the difference between a true and a false Christian. Between a Christian who is a Christian and one who is not a Christian but calls himself a Christian. See, there's a difference. We've got that in America like you wouldn't believe. Well, the word called it tares. There's the wheat, which are the true Christians, and there's the tares. We got a lot of tares. But see, God is in the manner to save them that believe. And you show me a pastor that will preach the pure, unadulterated Word of God and preach the gospel and become that salt and salt the congregation with the Word of God and the truth and fast and pray and believe. Now, you see, the one that made the impact was our pastor, Brother Kennedy. He wasn't perfect, but I remember one day, and I've said this before, but it was funny. I was telling him how good it is to have him. And, you know, he really didn't want the praise. It's nice to be liked. But he said, you know, I'm just a man. I put on my pants one leg at a time like other men, which means you think of the superheroes like Superman. Clark Kent runs into a booth and comes out of a booth dressed as Superman somehow. So he's not one of those preachers. He's not one of those preachers that can grab his pants, jump up in the air, flip them on, and tie them, you know, all the same thing before he hits the ground. He was just a preacher doing what God had called him to do. another time we were talking about the end of the world and the things. And we had, you know, the church, we covered this a lot. We knew a lot of things that were coming from the homosexual movement, the vast, even in my first book I wrote, I talked about homosexuality and a lot of the things that were going to happen in this country. And it has. I mean, it wasn't, heaven startling revelation. It was just straight out of the Word of God and what, the Lord had shown me and things like that. And plus, in the church, we talked about it. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He has. And see, but God chose the foolishness of preaching, men and women that will share the Word of God, bringing it to people, salting their lives with that word, that seed. Now, for the Corinthians, who this is addressed to, he brought in the Jews, because the Jews were a big thing. You see, a lot of the Gentiles that found the gospel found it from Jews who had become redeemed. Well, the problem with some of the Jews is they didn't like Paul the apostle and the other apostles telling all the Gentiles they didn't have to get circumcised, because the Jews had been taught that that was important. And they didn't realize that although they believe in that Yahshua was that prophet, that they couldn't add to it. And so there was a big problem. And see here in verse 22, he says the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Now you see, this is the problem you have in the world. The Jews required a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. What do Americans think? Well, they're willing to live with it. You just need to make the gospel practical. Don't get too excited. Don't get too radical. And they'll live with it. I know what I'm talking about. One of the first major pastors I had, I was a youth pastor. And I would get up there and I would nail it, preaching it. One Sunday morning, I was heading up there again to the pulpit area. And two of the deacons caught me on, it was board members, caught me on the stairs and said, "We don't want you here. We don't like you being here. You need to leave." They were going to get rid of me. And they did. They succeeded. Because between the pastor and them, they weren't going to stay there with me being there. And so even the Assembly of God people wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to stay there and divide the church. That thought never occurred to me. But there was a lot that wanted me, but in the end, my family and I were without a job. We had a house and had to pay rent and live. We were to leave town with no money to leave. We were to leave town with a family with nowhere to go. We were in another state. Well, that's the way it was. So, yeah, in the church, we do have those that have their certain ideas. But see, the thing of it is, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And that's even in the church. In the church, don't use your carnal wisdom. And the preachers preach psychology. That's not the gospel. Never was the gospel. Paul says that please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, it says save them that believe. He's talking about people that believe already, but God used foolishness of preaching to save them, to guide them, to teach them. So Christ was preached crucified. In other words, when you take up that cross, or when you take up Christ, the cross comes with it. And while you have different groups with different ideas, in Paul's day, the Jews, all this preaching Christ crucified was a stumbling block, and the Greeks just thought it was foolishness. Oh, that's nuts. That sounds like more like what Americans would think. But see, it doesn't matter. Paul says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Remember, many are called and few are chosen. And the chosen are those who receive Christ and follow him. So in both groups, or in whatever group you're in, the bottom line of it is that preaching of the gospel and the power of God and the wisdom of God comes together with that foolishness of preaching, giving the word out through men who are redeemed, anointed of God, and that goes out, and the salt of the word, the seed of God, gets into the hearts and is planted. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser in men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men. Yeah. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Yeah, that's right. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are all, that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, God will save the drunk on the street. He'll save the prostitute. He'll save the utter drugs of society, those who are absolutely worthless, downtrodden, that nobody in their right mind would pay attention to. God will redeem them. But he will also redeem the high and mighty if they can bring themselves down. You see, today we're talking about steadfast faith, the pursuit of Christ. And in this today, we're talking about the princely judgment. The devil has been defeated. But that doesn't mean he's gone yet. That just means he's defeated. And we as the church and believers have got to do our part. Getting into the Word of God, sticking to what Christ told the apostles, and bringing that to a lost and dying world. The message has never changed. The goal has never been moved. And the purpose stems out of God's love, fueled by his mercy, empowered by grace, and nurtured by the Spirit of God, and sealed through the blood of the covenant, when Christ died on that cross. And there's one more fact, that God cannot lie. There is a place for you in heaven. But see, we're not going to be on a cloud playing harps, folks. The meek inherit the earth. We're going to have the earth redone. The heavens are going to be redone. You won't have cars and trucks. You won't need them. It'll be a different thing, totally. God's tabernacle will be with men. He will be our God. We will be his people. the former things will be passed away. You'll be in a new body. You're not redeemed yet. You're a work in progress. Don't give up. Hang in there. And for those of you, John chapter 1, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. That word believe, trust and rely on, cling to. John 3, you must be born again of the Spirit. Then you can also read John 10 through John 18. A lot of good reading in there. Confession and this salvation, you can read more in Romans 3 through 7. But the practical matter, 1 John 1, talks about if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive him, get in his word, and put him first and walk in his light as he walked. Father, we thank you for your word and for those who hear this. Bless all those who hear it whenever they do. Feed them, nurture them, and keep them safe. And bless them in Jesus' name. Don't forget to go by our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. You can listen to the shows on our websites. Every show is embedded on our website. But you can also go at the front of the website, and we have a Spreaker app. And down below that, you can listen and download them from that too, by the way. But below that is a listing of a lot of the places that you can have it. Because we have people that listen on iHeart, listen on the iTunes, they listen on Spreaker. I mean, there's a lot of them. We have them listen on Anchor, I mean, Podchaser. And so check these things out. Get the Word of God. Because we've won, folks. But we still have a battle. And Tower and I both hope that you're doing okay during this COVID. If you're living in one of the nations, one of the states where some of these nutty governors of our are, we feel for you. Pray for them. May God grant them the ability to wisdom to understand what they shouldn't be doing and do the things that they should be doing. And so be sure to read the articles I spoke to you about earlier. You can find them all over on danaglennsmith.com. And you can find a lot of them also over on warren-usa.com. Check out our social sites. Tell people about us. Help us to get the word out. And so for Tower and I, have a good weekend. This is Friday. We'll see you on the other end. We'll see you next time. Good Lord willing, and the crick don't rise.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.